Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good evening, everyone. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. This is Bit Day. The show is usually called Overtime.
But is it still called that?
But when Thom and Shorts take over, Bit Day takes over. So tonight is Bit Night. Very confusing branding. Don't ask me to really explain it. But Thom and Shorts will be with you till 10 p.m. We have Darius on the ones and twos. He's going to make sure everything is going to sound good. A little bit of a theme tonight. And I would say, Shorts, a reason why we're doing this theme is because with overwhelming support from people on Twitter, by the way, you can follow Shorts on Twitter at Chris Lingbach.
And people can follow you at Tom Daly, too.
And we had half of tens, maybe even half dozen people suggest this theme for this evening. So if you're a part of those six people that really want to get jazzed up with Bit Day on a Friday night,
yeah,
I hope you're ready.
I'll tell you, it's hard for us to kind of keep diehards when, you know, we're on sporadically, like once every couple months or something
that. Yeah, right.
But the few that we have, they're extremely devoted.
Well, they're extremely devoted 50% of the time.
Yeah, like we got the Richmond Johns out there.
Yeah.
The Mike in Morgan County or something.
Calhoun, don't forget. Calhoun, I'm sure, will be calling in at some point this evening. But you were smart, and when you put out your promotional tweet for the show this evening,
yeah,
you tagged JP Flame, and you took a picture of Quentin Mayo from NBC Sports Washington.
Right.
Immediately got the retweet.
Yeah,
within seconds, almost like JP didn't even read the tweet, just saw the picture of Quentin Mayo in a basketball jersey, retweet, hammer it.
So you're saying not because he's supporting us, but because he's supporting Quentin Mayo, that's why he retweeted
because
it.
He saw the picture and he got
that was a big point of contention on a Junkies episode this week where the producers were needling him for his apparent over-mentioning of Quentin Mayo, who is an NBC Sports Washington host.
I will say this. This is all me just making this up. I have no facts.
Okay, that's a good start.
I don't want to go down that road because I was told that this is has to be a factual debate when it comes to Quentin Mayo. This is what I've heard.
Okay.
But let's get into something that is set in stone. The Redskins coaching staff.
Yep.
And I think you said it best before the show. Are you willing to buy into the Redskins again, given what we've seen from the Ron Rivera era and the coaching staff that has been put together so far? Is the Ron Rivera era going to be silly, or is it going to be nubs? That's the real question.
I think almost to, in a similar way with Dwayne Haskins last year, there's a lot of reluctance that I'm sensing from Redskins fans. They want to go all in on Ron Rivera, just like they wanted to go all in on Dwayne Haskins, but they've just been burned so many times. They're the abused spouse.
Yeah, sure.
For lack of a better phrase.
I would say you probably could find a better phrase.
Well, I didn't. And I'm the abused spouse of this relationship, if you people can't tell.
Yeah, because you were a hardcore Jay Gruden supporter. You still to this day say that he was a good head coach.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't say hardcore Jay Gruden supporter. I wouldn't phrase it quite like that.
I don't know. Saying that he was a good coach after he was fired, when he was on the road to maybe a 3-13 season, I would say it's a pretty hardcore supporter.
Okay, with hindsight, I can say that I think it's pretty obvious that he lost that locker room.
Okay.
I still,
so now you're blaming the players.
I still do believe. No, that's on him too. I mean, he's got to keep their attention, right? He's got to keep them captivated, and if they're not buying into his system, they're going to start tuning him out. And I think it's pretty apparent from their 0-5 start that they definitely tuned that guy out.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think. I can't believe you're making me say this in the first segment.
What?
I still think that Jay Gruden, if he gets another head coaching job, given what he's learned and in a better situation, a la not having Dan Snyder as an owner, I think you will see him thrive.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to track that. Maybe when we're on 3 months from now, we'll have a little more intel on the Jay Gruden saga. I would venture to say at this point,
it can't be the Browns either.
I would venture to say he's probably not getting a job. I mean, has there been one tweet from anyone reputable that covers the NFL that has even thrown around the idea?
No, I haven't seen a mention.
Jay Gruden.
I haven't seen a single mention, but this was okay, this is going to sound like I'm supporting him again. I'm not.
Yeah, because you are, because you do support him.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying I think this was a weird year where the Redskins forced everybody to make these decisions earlier by firing him early and by getting that. By the way, that's what allowed them to get Ron Rivera to begin with. You had Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants, for some ungodly reason. Who knows why he would publicly admit this, but he did live on the radio.
Because he's Dave Gettleman.
Admitted that he wanted Ron Rivera for the Giants, but the Redskins basically beat him to the punch. He said that.
Yeah.
Publicly admitted that. That guy's an idiot. Like, he's just begging to get fired. But I will say this. I think Jay Gruden probably sits out another year. I don't know if he's going to be a head coach right away. Obviously not this year.
I would venture to say never again. He's probably more of a coordinator moving forward.
I think when enough time has passed and people look at what he was able to do with what little resources he had in Washington, he'll be one of those coaches you see as a retread, where some team will come along and they won't be like the sexy team that every guy looking to become a head coach wants to be hired by. It'll be a situation like the Browns, but he will ultimately, I think, become a head coach again. But again, what the heck do I know? I'm just blabbering.
Okay, well, let's try to get you back on topic and stop having you rail for Jay Gruden the entire show.
I'm not railing for him.
We want to talk about Ron Rivera because this is the Ron Rivera era. Okay,
yes.
We have the promos on the radio station that say it. People are starting to put it on T-shirts, I'm sure.
Yep.
Do you get sized? Do you think that the Ron Rivera era, given what he's shown you in the press conference, by hiring a full coaching staff, do you think that this is going to be enough to turn things around? And are you going to be able to buy back into the Redskins? 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. If you're on the phone line, stay there. We'll get to you next, and we will give you our thoughts on Ron Rivera and this new era with the Redskins. This is Bit Day on the Fan. Tom and Shorts with you. We will be on till 10 p.m. taking your calls throughout the show. At 7:30, we're going to be joined by Ryan Spader, who came in on one of the last Bit Days we did over the summer.
Yeah.
And told some great stories about going to the Hall of Fame. And really, I would say, got a nice reaction from the listeners that were listening to Bit Day.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have him back on. We're going to talk about this Buzzergate situation, talk about the Astros, talk about the Mets firing Carlos Beltran, talk about Alex Cora getting fired from the Red Sox. Plenty of stuff to get into, because really, who better to have on than that guy when you're talking about something as complex as what this issue in baseball is becoming? As it's unraveling,
yeah,
it's becoming more and more of a just crazy, just tale of almost everyone in baseball being involved in this.
It's like a complete S storm. And you know it's big when I'm seeing people who I never see tweet about baseball for any reason, yeah, a la Brendan Dar.
Right. He's very into this.
I should keep saying Allah, by the way. That's twice on the show in 15
Allah
minutes.
Allah mode.
Where they're tweeting about it, and they're into it, and it's just taking on a life of its own, and it's like, you know, you can feel this palpable, all these players in Major League Baseball were just waiting for the report to come out so that they could unleash the floodgates, and that's what we're seeing these past couple of days. It's been unreal to see.
Yes, I'm looking forward to talking to Ryan, and also there's another thing that I'm going to want to bring up. I don't want to really, you know, let him know because maybe he's listening now, but he had a run-in with AWOD on Twitter this week. So I want to get to the bottom of that as well, so we'll talk to Ryan Spader at 7:30. But we are talking right now about Ron Rivera, the coaching staff being assembled, and if you're encouraged enough to buy back into the Redskins after these years of just terrible, terrible football, terrible front office staff, hashtag fire Bruce Allen almost everywhere on social media. And now there's a football guy running not only the actual football team, but it seems like he's going to be in charge of the draft. It seems like he's going to be in charge of a lot of front office decisions as well.
Yeah.
He talked in his press conference about it being a group effort and really everyone kind of getting involved in all these opinions. So, Shorts, I want to start with you, and then I want to go to the calls. Are you psyched for Ron Rivera, and are you buying back in?
I think Ron Rivera is the best they could possibly do in this situation. So I don't think, for instance, that they were going to have, if there was a better candidate available, like, I don't know, let's say the Matt Rhule situation. I'm not saying he's necessarily better than Rivera. We don't know if he can coach at the NFL
unproven,
level.
Unproven, but yeah.
Or, you know, that guy from Oklahoma that everybody knows. I don't think they were ever
going to. Lincoln Riley.
Right. I don't think they were ever going to be in the running for him. I don't think they were ever in the running for Urban Meyer. But I think Ron Rivera, out of everybody else that is left, that's the best they could have possibly done, and it's still great they got it done. And again, we mentioned last segment that the Giants clearly wanted Ron Rivera because Gettleman admitted it publicly. He said the Redskins just beat him to the punch. So, look, I think they got their guy. He's the guy that, for whatever reason, Dan Snyder wanted to hire as his next head coach, and he's giving him everything to work with as far as we can tell from the outside. It might take a couple years to really find out whether that's true or not, but by all intents and purposes, Ron Rivera is not only the head coach of this team, but he is orchestrating and pulling all the strings in restructuring this front office. And we'll see if it works out.
Yeah, this is his team in a big way. A lot of teams say, oh, this is, you know, coach whoever's team. It really seems like the Redskins have given the team and the organization to Ron Rivera. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Let's talk to Vic in Accokeek. Vic, what's going on?
What's up, fellas?
Hey,
I'm
doing
excited.
Good.
I'm sorry about that. I'm calculated excited, and I say calculated because I can calculate football terminology now. I can calculate football conversation. I draw scenarios from football intelligence, and I couldn't do that, you know, 3 weeks ago. I could just keep saying, as a bad Redskins fan, the Redskins suck, and we just have to hope for the best. You know, discussing NFL analytics like it's NFL Network or ESPN NFL Live, it was impossible to do that. You know, even when we would say the best scenario could happen, we would say, but the Redskins suck, so it's not going to matter. So I'm really happy about that. I do feel the most exciting thing for me right now is listening to Jack Del Rio, reading his articles, because what he's saying makes sense about NFL defense, about potential not meaning anything, communication. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Sitting on the field. Fitting where you're supposed to fit, causing turnovers, having gap integrity, having key integrity, all that stuff matters, and I'm excited to hear about that.
Thanks for the call, Vic. Appreciate it, buddy. You know, one thing that he struck on there that stuck out to me is Jack Del Rio. I don't know. I'm sure people have been following pretty closely, but Jack Del Rio has been subtly dropping bombs on Greg Minuski. It started with that Redskins Nation interview that he had with Larry Michael. And let me pull up the quote here. It was, he was talking about basically why they were going to a 4-3 from a 3-4. And in reality, it doesn't matter what they call it, because they're going to run so much out of the nickel.
Right. You hear, you know, Grant or Rooster or Craig Hoffman, when they talk about the change from the 4-3 to the 3-4, they say it doesn't really matter because most of the time NFL defenses are playing 11 personnel or something like that.
Yeah.
So when you hear guys that are, you know, much more in touch with looking at the all 22 footage and really looking at how the teams operate, when you hear that, that's not really as scary as it was when I first read the report that they were going to go back to the 4-3, which seems like an archaic defense at this point.
Yep.
But it seems like really in the NFL, that's not how things go anymore.
Del Rio said, quote, "It just makes sense with the guys we have to have them rushing the quarterback and not dropping into coverage. I'll just leave it at that." I mean, that is such a shot at Greg Minuski. And you saw it last week in the Packers-Seahawks game where it ends with the Seahawks needing a first down or needing a defensive stop, and the Packers have like 3rd and 10, and the Seahawks season's on the line. If they don't make that defensive stop, their season's done. Jadeveon Clowney drops into coverage instead of rushing the passer, Aaron Rodgers.
Is why you traded for him.
One of the best pass rushers in the NFL rushes or drops back into coverage instead of rushing the passer. That is so Greg Minuski, as J.P. Finley pointed out on Twitter, which drew in some laughter from Ha Ha Clinton Dix as well. But Del Rio, you can tell that that's a big mission of his, is just getting guys to do what they should be doing, what they're built to do, and not having them do what they're not supposed to be doing, which is Ryan Kerrigan and Montez Sweat won't be dropping in the coverage for half the game. Send they're going to be rushing the pass.
Send them every time.
Yep.
Have Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen, you know, blocking up the center,
yep,
just clogging up the line, and then have Sweat and Kerrigan come in from the outside and just tackle the quarterback.
Exactly. And if you factor in, if they end up drafting Chase Young, look out, man.
Right.
I mean, yes, we understand they've got a lot of holes on their secondary. Hopefully they can figure out, whether it's through the draft as well and free agency, how to have some fixes in there. But if you add Chase Young to this defensive line already as it is, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing instead of dropping in the coverage, that is going to be an insane situation, and it will mask a lot of the defensive deficiencies in the secondary.
1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. If you're on the phone line, stay there. We will get to your calls next. If you want to tweet us, you can tweet Shorts at Chris Lingbach.
People can tweet Tom Daly at Tom Daly 2. Are you guys psyched for the Redskins, or are you still skeptical?
Are you not buying in yet? This is Bit Night on the Fan. And we're taking your calls about the Ron Rivera era. If it has made you buy back in as a Redskins fan, if you get psyched, or do you think that this is just going to be another Nubs year Redskins football?
I've seen a lot of people feeling the second one, where they're just kind of a little reticent to jump all on board. Like they're dipping one toe in the water. They like the idea of Ron Rivera.
Right. Well, Vic and Akiki called us last segment and was still on the fence, and he said the only thing that even got him to where he is that he can now use football terminology again,
yeah,
and he's a fan.
Right. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Weigh in. We're taking your calls on whether or not you are ready to jump back in on the Redskins or you're still kind of standing on the sidelines.
Let's talk to Lee in Alexandria. Lee, what's going on?
Hey, Tom. Hi, Shorts. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime Redskin fan since I was about 10 years old, and I feel as a Redskins fan, kind of like we've been down this road before with Mike Shanahan. Mike Shanahan came in with a lot of hype that he was going to lead us to the promised land. And I think Rivera, with a less superior resume, has been given the reins like Shanahan. So I don't see this succeeding right now.
It does feel very Shanahan-esque. But
thank you, Lee, for the call.
I almost wonder if he is factoring in the fact that there's no Bruce Allen this time around. Because remember, when Shanahan came in, the Redskins fans were given all the promises in the world. Bruce Allen was, a proven winner in the NFL with a track record, and then his first hire was Mike Shanahan, another proven winner, Super Bowl winner, and we heard from Mike Shanahan in his introductory press conference, Dan Snyder just wants to win. That's right. All he wants, and that's why I took this job, because Dan wants to win. Mm-hmm. Well, we did hear that from Ron Rivera, so I guess that's one reason to be a little bit nervous, just because you're literally hearing the exact same thing that Shanahan said when he came on board. But there is no middleman there. There's no Bruce Allen
you
behind
won't
the
screen. You heavy in the microphone.
As far as we can tell. And, you know, J.P. Finley said something along these lines, and maybe we should play the clip, because he touched on this when he was on with Dukes, and it really stuck out to me. Where we're going to have to wait a couple years to see if a new quote-unquote middleman emerges. And that's going to have everything to do with what the Redskins' reputation is moving forward, whether or not it can be repaired.
J.P. Finley on Chad Dukes versus the World.
The front office, by and large, Kyle Smith, Tim Gribble today that got the promotion, that was entirely expected once you saw Kyle get the promotion.
Okay.
Those guys are well thought of around the league. And even on the pro side, where Alex Santos runs pro personnel, his reputation is good around the league. When you remove Bruce Allen from that equation, the front office looks entirely different.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because he oversaw everything and clouded everything. You didn't know what moves got made that weren't his, if that makes sense, especially when it got to a big level. I remember earlier this year talking to somebody about the Josh Norman deal and how they're still in it and how much money it was.
Sure.
That he's still, I mean, he's been here 4 years and he's still one of the highest paid, if not the highest paid corner in the NFL. 4 years later. And somebody said, yeah, Bruce got excited on that one.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and a lot of the reputation that the Redskins have around the NFL, it won't change overnight, because the league will have to see what happens when adversity hits. What happens when that first player goes to ownership behind the coach's back? And is that immediately shut down, or does that stuff start to bubble up again? Because until that bridge gets crossed, of course it seems like a really good fresh start right now, but there hasn't been any trouble. Let's see what happens if they drop to 2-4 or who knows.
Okay.
But I do think if they handle things right and Bruce is gone and there's not some new middleman created that is viewed as ownership's proxy, then I do think the reputation of the league will start to, or the team will start to change around the league.
So that, again, was J.P. Finley on with Chad Dukes. But, again, that's a great kind of perspective on this whole situation. And I think a part of what you're seeing in some fans' reluctance to jump back on board and being on the ground level, gung-ho, with the Ron Rivera era, is they've been so burned so many times, and we just don't have evidence to show right now whether or not this is going to work out. They want to wait and see.
Do you know what makes me apprehensive about the moves that have been made?
What's that?
The coaching staff looks great. Mm-hmm. The fact that you can get Ron Rivera as a head coach, and then he can bring Jack Del Rio as the defensive coordinator, and then go out and get North Turner's son, Scott yep. Turner, who is developing quite a nice resume of his own, go out and get those guys and bring them in to organize the whole, you know, football operation side of things. That's great. That all looks good. The one thing that's confusing to me is they first decided to keep a certain number of front office staff on until the draft.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden that changed. And there was a report from way out of left field that Eric Schaefer was going to be leaving immediately and not after the draft, like what was initially reported.
Yeah.
That to me is concerning, where Eric Schaefer, by all accounts, you've heard, very good at his job, very good at putting together contracts and making sure everything goes swimmingly when it comes to those sides of things. You're putting together a whole new football operations. Why wouldn't you keep a guy on who's pretty good at getting contracts going to sign all your rookie players that are going to be coming into this brand new football staff?
I'll tell you why. Because you know, just looking at their resumes alone, and based off of what I've heard reporters say, Rob Rogers, who is pretty much the replacement for Eric Schaefer, Rob Rogers was with the Panthers for 25 years. Eric Schaefer was with the Redskins for 17. They're basically the same guy. They do basically the same role.
Right.
So I don't really buy into this narrative that Eric Schaefer is this irreplaceable figure. And, you know, I guess it's, again, another wait-and-see approach. But what gives me confidence is as soon as Rivera came in here, he took over with a professionalism that we haven't seen, certainly not in the 5 years under Jay Gruden. Remember every single time the Redskins had to add another coaching staff member during Gruden's 5 years? It was always a disorganized mess. You would hear about this guy coming in based off of a report from Chris Russell, and then he'd show up, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and they didn't get their guy. And Wade Phillips came in. How could you not hire Wade Phillips? And yet they let him walk out the door and then go to the Rams and coach them to the NFC Championship and then the Super Bowl. It was always disorganized. And what you've seen since the day Ron Rivera took over as head coach is all of these different positions being open and then boom, 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 him knocking them down one by one by one. And it's been extremely organized, and to me, it looks extremely professional. I think that's what Rod Rivera brings to the table, a level of professionalism of a guy who's done it before, he's been there before, and he knows how to get this stuff done.
1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. If you're on the phone line, stay there. We will get to you next. We're going to wrap up with the Ron Rivera topic because we have to get to Ryan Spader at 7:30. So if you want to line up talking about the Ron Rivera era, and if you are sized, give us a call, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. This is Bit Night on the Fan. We are talking Ron Rivera. We are talking about the new Redskins coaching staff. And really, the Redskins being at the helm of Ron Rivera, and if it has led you to buy back in as a Redskins fan. There were a lot of disenfranchised Redskins fans towards the end of last season, even before last season. Is this enough, given what Ron Rivera has said at the press conference when he was introduced, to what he's done by hiring the new coaching staff? Has the Redskins done enough? Has Ron Rivera gotten his hands involved enough to turn this around and give you optimism and make you buy back in, or are you still on the fence? Because honestly, I'm kind of on the fence still. I need to see a couple of preseason games at least, maybe a couple of those videos that every reporter tweets out from training camp. I need to see something that is actually going to show me that it will be a more exciting, more competitive Redskins football team.
Okay, but just to devil's advocate you to death real quick.
Okay.
What are you going to see from the preseason that's going to give you confidence? You know that those games don't matter.
You're going to see football.
And you know that the Redskins probably aren't going to be good for at least the first year. So you're talking about, I mean, I would think they're probably not going to be good next year.
Yeah, a lot of people thought that the 49ers wouldn't be the first seed in the NFC in the playoffs either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Things can be turned around pretty quick if done correctly. Let's go to Pat in Mechanicsville. We're going to fit all the calls in here. Pat, what's up?
Yes, I think the biggest problem we need to do is try to bring back that winning culture, because you can go out here and get any coach you want, but what we need is back in the 80s, we won, and we need to get the winning culture back. We're going to be $100 million close to that in the salary cap next year. Go out, get yourself some big offensive linemen, run the ball, help Haskins. That'll help him enormously. And then it'll loosen up everything, and then we'll bring that winning culture back. And I think these coaches will. I think Rivera and Del Rio, they will definitely bring the winning culture back to us. And I'm glad we got rid of Minuski and Ryan. They were garbage. Thanks.
Thank you, Pat, for the call. I will say this, the Titans getting so far in the playoffs, being at the championship game to potentially go to what we would call the quote-unquote big game.
Yeah.
Right? The run the dang ball people are going to come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they are.
Because it's the Titans have shown the way.
Yes.
You get a 250-pound running back who can break away from 11 guys and streak down the sideline, run the dang ball. They're going to come out of the woodwork.
I mean, there's just not a lot of Derrick Henrys to go around, you know?
No, there's not.
By the way, this is like his career is peaking at just the right time because this is what he did at Alabama, if you remember.
And oh, yeah.
He just hasn't quite been able to put it all together like he has this season. It's awesome to see.
Let's go to Steve in Fairfax. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Doing good.
You asked the question, you know, is this different from, let's say, when Shanahan came to the Skins, and do I feel different? I personally do feel different for a number of reasons. One, when Shanahan came to our team back in what was it, 2010, I mean, he was on a two-year hiatus. It was clear that he was, one, trying to get paid, and two, he was trying to set his son up for a future success. And you know, one of the things that frustrates me about us as a fan base and us and the media is we have revisionist history. We forget how dysfunctional it was under the Shanahan regime. We forget how dysfunctional it was when we were 3-6, and he pretty much tapped out on the team and said, "Hey, we're going to start evaluating for next year." And the team being RG3, Kirk Cousins, and Alfred Morris, went on a 7-game win streak, not because of Shanahan, but because of what the team did. Right? We forget about the dysfunction about Kyle Shanahan and the matching tattoos of Rex Grossman and all the dysfunction that they had. Rivera doesn't bring that. Rivera is not here to get paid. Rivera is not here to build a career for his son or somebody else. He's really here, I think, for him. It's a case of redemption. He wants to win for the sake of winning to rebuild his reputation. And when I listen to him speak, I think there is a level of sincerity that we never had with Shanahan. And so for that reason alone, I feel a lot more hopeful and optimistic. I don't think he's coming in with an agenda. I don't think we're going to see all the gossip and backstabbing that we had under Shanahan. So I'm hopeful for that.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, for the call.
That's a great point, though, about being properly motivated. It does seem like Rivera is just in a different place in his career than Shanahan was when he arrived.
Right.
And I think that matters.
And I think you can say that for Jack Del Rio, too.
Sure.
Where yes. He was moved out of I can't remember what team. It was either,
Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland.
Yep.
Had to go to ESPN
mm-hmm.
to continue to make money in football. Couldn't even get really any sort of team coming to get him, at least
yeah.
that has been put out publicly. And now he gets a shot with Ron Rivera. So now you have revenge tour, revenge season times two.
By the way, Del Rio was in year one of a big contract extension he had just signed when he got blown out in Oakland. That just goes to show you how chaotic that organization is.
Let's go to Adam in D.C. Adam, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing good.
My whole point with the Rivera thing, look, I'm not old enough to remember the 80s and 90s Redskins, but for as long as I can remember, we get too excited too fast when we hire a big-name coach. Like, three of the past four seasons for the Panthers weren't pretty at all. And to add on to that, we're adding Jack Del Rio. Like you said, not a lot of teams were interested in him. Now, maybe it's because he wanted a different career path or maybe because it just wasn't the right fit, but a lot of people are saying, a lot of people are thinking that maybe he just wasn't fit to be a coach anymore. I feel like we're getting too much of the Panthers coaching staff, and I feel like we're getting too much of the outcast in terms of coaching. I don't think this is enough to remove the dysfunction of the Redskins franchise right now.
Thank you, Adam, for the call. He brought up a good point and something that I've been a little concerned about the amount of Panthers people. Where are the Redskins, and is Ron Rivera going to the well and going to what he knows too much? Where now you're not just evaluating the people that are the best and the people that need to be brought with you. Now you're just kind of bringing everybody. You're bringing the chef. You're bringing the equipment manager. You're bringing everybody.
Well, it's almost like what's that phrase that people use when you hire kids and all that? What's that word?
I can't think nepotism?
Of it. Nepotism. It's like nepotism on a giant scale, but instead of family members, they're former coworkers.
Well, there's also family members on the team, too.
Yes, that's a good point. There is also family
Vincent
members.
Vincent Rivera and Luke Del Rio.
There's also family members, too. So, yeah, I got nothing to say to you to refute that. I guess I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt until he proves otherwise. But
well, I'm happy that you're able to move on from Jay Gruden. The fact that you're able to get off the Jay Gruden train, very exciting. Let's go to Ali in Stafford. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Tom? Hey, what's up, Shorts?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I just it's more of reserved optimism for me. My only thing is Coach Rivera brings, you know, principles, fundamentals, and I think he'll be very detailed. I do think we're moving in the right direction, but it is more of I can't get too excited about it all of a sudden because I think Shorts had brought up a good point. When something goes wrong, what's going to happen? Is Dan going to put his foot in football operations again? One thing I will say is Dan, as far as if he wanted to keep Kevin O'Connell, he would have told Rivera that, hey, I'm keeping this guy if you get hired. So I do think he stepped away a little bit, but once again, I feel it's more like reserved optimism until we see something bad happens.
Yeah, thank you for the call.
Yeah, great call and great point about me bringing up a great point.
But to the Kevin O'Connell point, and Craig Hoffman was really getting down into it today on Chad Dukes versus the World.
Yep.
And you've heard Grant say the same thing on Grant and Danny. It doesn't seem like Kevin O'Connell wanted to be here.
Right.
Where even if Ron Rivera was into the idea of keeping Kevin O'Connell, it didn't seem like KOC wanted to stay with the Redskins organization. It's almost like that had been run out. And he wanted to try something new. That's what all the reports from every person has been saying.
Okay, but I'll say this to that. If that's how he felt, fine. See you later. You can't have that guy feeling that way still
can't.
In your building.
You absolutely can't.
So it's good that he's gone.
1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Forgot the phone number for a second. Thom and Shorts with you. Next, we'll be joined by Ryan Spader. And we're going to get into Buzzergate, and we're going to get into everything going on in the world of baseball next here on Vintnight. We're all jazzed up.
Yep.
It's a Friday night.
All apprehensive.
Yeah. is that not a word?
We learned during the break that Tom said a word early in the show that may not actually exist,
and
or
also,
it may. We're really not sure.
If it's not a word, I'll wear it. No problem. This is the thing. I've been doing Crash It and Net for 6 seasons on 106.7 The Fan.
Yeah.
I've been doing the show with professional sports writers. I've been doing it with people much smarter than me. I've said that word almost every week. No one has ever corrected me.
What is the word, Tom?
Apprehensious. Is that not a word?
I think you're combining two words, and I think it's apprehensive and cautious, and your brain is just doing like a Jedi mind trick thing on you, and it's just slamming them both together.
Yeah.
And so to you, you've said it so long that it sounds right.
If you say a wrong word for 6 years and no one corrects you on it, why would you think that it was not a word?
Can I tell you, there's another word that you do say wrong, but I don't know if we want to go down that road
because
we got a guest.
We have Ryan Spader on.
We'll
save
it for later.
Why don't you drop that on me later?
Yeah, we'll save it for later.
Let's go to the Ace of Spader. Ryan, what's going on? Happy Buzzergate. Hope everything's going well. You want to break this down from the top? Just let us know what's going on, what you know.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, first of all, I was a little apprehensive about coming on the show. Oh, man, the whole thing's a mess, though, I'll tell you right now.
Well, it's so crazy, Ryan, because I've never seen people... This is more of like an NBA Twitter type of thing or an NFL Twitter type of thing, but on Twitter, everybody has just been abuzz for the past 24 hours, really all week since the report on the Astros cheating scandal came out, and Commissioner Rob Manfred confirmed that they did in fact cheat during the 2017 season. But he specifically says in it that it didn't go beyond the 2017 season, unless you want to correct me if I'm wrong on that. But now everybody is doing Zapruder film diagnostics on the Astros in the 2019 ALCS where they beat the Yankees, and saying that Jose Altuve was wearing a buzzer on his shoulder underneath his jersey, and that's the reason why he was covering up his jersey and went into the locker room after the game-winning hit and changed his shirt so that nobody could see him take the buzzer off. And the buzzer is supposedly helping him know when a fastball is coming. It's just so wild to see people get caught up in this.
Well, it's really funny because the whole buzzer thing comes from this burner account, right? That's apparently they're like, I'm Carlos Beltran's niece or something.
Yeah.
And Beltran wasn't even involved with the team in 2019. You know, so what the hell would she know?
That's a good point.
True.
I didn't even think about
that. And then the same account said that Gleyber Torres of the Yankees was doing the same stuff. And, you know, it's really unsubstantiated, and it's not something that I've even really heard much about. I've heard a lot about this sign-stealing stuff. Dating back to the mid-2000s with a certain team, and an individual who hasn't even been yet named, who I think will eventually be named.
Interesting.
And just teams who have, in recent seasons, developed this whole, you know, we're going to have the analytics department right by the dugout, and they got these 20 monitors, and what is one of those monitors doing? One of the a player told me, which really cracked me up, he was like, well, where's one of those cameras staring? Right at the catcher's crotch. And used more colorful language. I'm not sure what we're allowed to say and not allowed to say.
Right.
But you've got all this stuff that's been coming out, and it just bothers me that it seems like the Astros, to me, are the scapegoats of this thing.
Yes.
The Red Sox got involved, of course, because of Alex Cora, and then the Mets end up getting sucked into it because of Carlos Beltran. But there are certain teams that Major League Baseball seems to want to keep as untouchable. And those are, you know, teams that are viewed globally as teams that are going to spread the sport, whatever, okay. What have you.
Do you think a part of the reason why they're okay with putting all of this on the Astros is because they happen to be so brazen in their denial of it?
I really think that the whole, what was his name, Tabom, I forget, that really helped it out.
Yeah, that assistant GM that got fired.
Yeah, that dude really dropped the ball, and he really screwed this team. And it just is like, well, you know, they're already taking a fall for this, so might as well throw this on them and that on them. As far as I've heard, there's been at least 8 or 9 total teams who have done just as much as the Astros have done.
Wow. Just as much as what was in the report? Meaning
yes.
Video sign stealing and...
I'm not talking trash cans. That seems pretty unique. Uh-huh. but as far as the sign stealing stuff goes, yes.
So you're saying up to 8 or 9 other teams, or including the Astros, or 8 or 9 total?
Total.
Wow. That's pretty big. But
it is, and that's just what I heard. And got to knock my own ego down a bit, but I'm a nobody in baseball, man. And that's just what I heard. I can only imagine.
That's not true. First of all, you know that's not true, but I think you're being humble. But this is from people that you've just kind of spoken to from knowing people around the league.
Well, yeah, I've spoken to a lot of the writers. I talked to Passan and Drillich a little bit, and they don't give me anything, of course. You know, they're tight-lipped with their sources because they're consummate professionals. But then I've talked to a number of ball players who have seen things and heard things. A lot of guys are taking issues with Fears or Fires, however you want to pronounce his name, because he was a part of that. And then something that he, I guess, did wasn't necessarily pointed out. And the fact of the matter is the only time he opened his mouth was, well, he had 3 starts in Houston. His ERA was over 14, and
yeah,
it ballooned his season numbers. And his contract's up at the end of the season. So to me, it seems like he had a lot of self-interest in coming out with this information. He kind of protected himself, maybe. It sort of read Jose Canseco-esque to me. I kind of got into it with our boy John Heyman, who I know comes on the station every once in a while.
Sure.
He's a great dude. But Heyman kind of lauded him as a hero in all this, and I just kind of disagree with that take. I think that he acted in self-interest and was trying to protect his future in the game. And when he was doing it, he wasn't speaking up.
Well, he certainly has something to gain from it, and certainly, and just the name of being, or the narrative rather, of being viewed as this hero, and maybe that, I don't know, increases his chances of signing with another team this offseason. I really don't know. I can't imagine.
No.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would, you know, get past the analytics department in any sort of way. But I don't know. Maybe it leads to media opportunities if his career's done. I don't know. But yeah, I could definitely see your point, how he's kind of gaining from the situation where he's on the team that got busted for cheating, and then he's also whistleblowing. You know, he's being the guy that's blowing the whistle on the whole thing while he sat there and benefited with all those other guys.
Right. And I'll tell you a couple of things that I've heard that haven't really come to light. Of course, I'm not going to name the teams or individuals, but one of the weirdest ones I've heard was an individual who had a guy in center field who had these like high-tech binoculars staring into a catcher's, I guess his crotch, you know, trying to read the signs, and he's just holding up a towel and would drop it if the pitch is off speed and then keep it off if it's not.
So the hitter sees him in the outfield, you're saying?
Right, right. It's absolutely ridiculous. It sounds absurd, but I have heard this from so many different people that it has to be true at this point. And some of this stuff is just ridiculous. You got one team who apparently has cameras along the left field and right field foul poles, and then one in dead center that's trying to catch a glimpse inside the pitcher's glove so they can see even before the pitch is thrown how his fingers are lined up on the pitch. I mean, this stuff sounds insane, right? But I've heard this stuff from so many people that I refuse to believe that it's anything but true at this point. And, you know, when you think about it and compare it to the fact that you had a team banging on trash cans, it doesn't sound that crazy, does it?
No, it doesn't. We're joined by Ryan Spader. You can follow him on Twitter, The Ace of Spader, SPAEDER on Twitter. Also a baseball statistician and author. You can get his book, Incredible Baseball Stats, The Coolest, Strangest Stats and Facts in Baseball History. Get that wherever books are sold. Ryan, one last question from me. How much more are we going to see in this rush? When there's stories that come out, it seems that there's a first wave of just news coming out from everywhere. We've seen it with Cora. We've seen it with Beltran. We've seen it with the Astros organization. Are we going to see more people come out or more organizations come out in this rush? Or do you think everything's going to settle down and then maybe we'll hear some more stories further down the road?
No, so really what I think is going to happen with all this is I think Major League Baseball is going to kind of try to distance itself from this. And you might see a manager or two or a coach or two just resign to try to save face. And we kind of saw that with Beltran. Initially, it sounded like he resigned, but then, you know, it was usually parting ways, and then it was the Mets asking him to leave.
I think
we're going to see, right, we're going to see more and more of that. I don't think this is over with. I think a lot more is going to come from all this. And from what I've heard, this advanced sign stealing dates back to the mid-2000s. So I don't know how into that they're going to get and how deep they're going to dig. I mean, Blackjack McDowell came out about the White Sox stealing signs using a Gatorade sign in right center field to indicate what pitch is coming back in the mid-90s, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that this morning. That was definitely interesting, and he also implicated Tony La Russa in that, right?
Oh, Tony, and he seemed pretty fired up because La Russa's still earning $500,000 a year working on that old man committee or whatever they call it nowadays. But this is far from over. And of course, you've heard the whole, you know, the Trout rumors about the H series and all that stuff. And, I've heard stuff like that for a while. The fact of the matter is, Major League Baseball, to my knowledge, does not test for HGH because they cannot test for HGH. You can't test for HGH with urine because it just doesn't come out that way. And it's not in your system long enough. It's not testable. I'm not sure whether or not these, you know, PUEs, which I know exist in baseball, and for ADHD medication, for example, it exists tenfold versus the general population. But do they exist for HGH? Yes or no? I mean, it's kind of a gray area because if you can't test for it, well, then why does a TV have to exist, right? And I'm not saying Trout did this or anybody did that, but the fact of the matter is I know dudes who have taken HGH in baseball and never had any problems. They didn't necessarily need that, you know, that TUE that you need for Adderall because you're going to pop on a P-test, you know?
Right.
Because that's not something you fail a P-test for.
Well, Ryan, let me ask you this, kind of circling back to the Astro scandal itself. A lot of people are kind of saying that this is worse than the steroid era and the steroid scandal, and that seems extremely victim of the moment to me. That's off base, right?
I've got to say, that is a very rare, just a very rare Blue Shorts brilliant point. because we got if Twitter existed in 1998 and 2001 and 2004, it would be the exact same thing. The only reason this stuff is coming to light is because of social media.
Yes.
If we were doing this 20 years ago, it would have stopped long before it even got to this point. You know, John Boy, who's come out, and it seems like, you know, he only wants to tweet against the Yankees being cheated on, and him and Chaz Palminteri, right?
Yeah.
They're kind of like scorned lovers here, but some reports have indicated that their team was involved. The guy wouldn't even exist. And, I wouldn't exist for the fact of the matter. So I think a lot of it has to do with social media. You have not just your Jeff Passons and your Evan Grulich's and your Ken Rosenthal's in the investigative reporting, but you got Joe Schmo on Twitter. You got this random person who's like, I'm Beltran's niece, and posting somewhat substantiated claims. I'm not giving any credit to the buzzer thing, but some of the stuff that has come from that account has actually come to fruition. So some people are giving it, giving credit to.
Well, and that could just be guessing, right? I mean, that's the world that we live in social media, where if a random person says what a lot of people want to hear and want to believe, and they happen to guess right, it gives them a false sense of validation.
Oh, I mean, I live on that, right?
Yeah.
But no, you're exactly right. I think the one thing that everybody's lending it credit to is apparently that account was the first one to say that Beltran is going to get hired as the manager. And it was like maybe a couple of days before it actually happened. It was reported by whomever was the first. You know, it's always one of the big, I don't know, 10 or 12. And I just think this stuff's far from over.
Yeah.
I do think that there are certain teams that Major League Baseball wants to protect because they essentially represent the sport.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't take down Derek Jeter. I mean, they're just to use Jeter as an example, there's a reason he won 5 gold gloves, but he sucked at defense. Right,
right, exactly. You know, horrible defender.
Right? He represented the sport. And he was the face of the sport for the longest time. Well, you have certain teams who are the face of the sport that I don't think Major League Baseball is going to want to implicate unless they absolutely have to.
Right. I got one final question I want to squeeze in for you. Tell me what I want to hear and a reason why I should believe that the buzzer thing is real, because I so desperately want to believe it just for the entertainment value.
Oh, man, I wish I had something for you. I got nothing there. I really feel badly.
Is it
putting me on the spot?
But what about all the pictures?
Yes. Is it possible? Is it theoretically possible that
could it be a buzzer?
Is it possible that he could have been wearing a buzzer and from the dugout they're signaling to him which pitch is coming? I just want to believe it's possible.
So the thing is, they wouldn't be signaling from the dugout. And I've looked into this a little bit, and in terms of an actual Bluetooth thing to go from the video room under, even if it's underneath the dugout, it's really wouldn't have the range to necessarily do that.
It's like 25 feet. I can walk from one end of my apartment to the other and it's the same distance.
What I heard was in order for this to be possible, it would have to be something like almost like a garage door opener, right? It would have to be low tech, not high tech.
Sure.
And I guess in theory that's a possibility, but
all right.
I'm sure you saw that Altuve video, right? And he's running.
Of course. I watched it 50 times.
Yeah, and everybody's saying, he's like, no, I got a piece. Well, he doesn't really speak English that good. So in reality, he was probably saying, no la camisa, right? Which is, don't touch my shirt. Don't touch my shirt.
All right, we got to get out of here, but thanks so much, buddy. We're up against it, but I really appreciate all the insight. People can follow Ryan Spader on Twitter, at the Ace of Spader. And thanks so much. People, check out the podcast. We'll post that up later, too. Thanks, Ryan.
I appreciate you guys having me, and I gained 700 followers since we've been on the phone. So.
I'm sure. Yeah, of course you have. That's Ryan Spader. Next time he's on, I'd love to ask him about the tweet interaction between him and AWOD from earlier in the week. We didn't have time for that. He actually had a lot of information, and what I gathered from it was pretty much that Jose Altuve was telling the truth when he said that his wife didn't want him to take the jersey off on the field.
Because supposedly,
if he can't prove what you want to hear, which was he's wearing a buzzer, the only other reasonable thing would be
his wife actually didn't want him.
His wife didn't want him taking the jersey off on the field. This is Bit Night. We're going to reset, come back top of the hour. If you want to chime in on Buzzergate and talk about what this means for baseball and just give your opinions on that, we will take your calls at the top of the hour. This is Bit Night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.